weren't able to attend this morning, including us, because of sickness.
Recording in progress.
I mean, that all happens. So, today, in light of the situation, honestly, with the last several months, year or two, I decided to talk about facing difficult times in life. The idea first came to me because back when I was at training, it was about 2 weeks until I was going to come back home. And I was on a phone call with Dad. And he said, I've got you scheduled for speaking at the end of January. So I thought, what's something applicable that I could talk about? And I thought, well, hey, this has like been the most challenging part of my life so far. These last 2 years have been confusing and difficult. How about I read about and find about what I should do when I face difficult times? And I thought, if that's helpful for me, I'm sure that's helpful for everyone. Because, I mean, honestly, I doubt any of us can say our life is perfect and has no troubles. So, I'd like to say that there's answers everywhere of what we're supposed to do exactly to fix all the issues. But of course, a lot of times when we face difficult times, there's not a clear answer sometimes, and we don't always fix the situation. So today is less going to be about what to do so that we don't have trials, but more about when the trials do come, because they will, how do we deal with them? So we're told in scripture many times that we should expect to face many different kinds of trials in this life. So we already know that we're going to have to be prepared for this. And being a Christian doesn't really make us immune to anything either. In fact, it can bring about worse trials sometimes through persecution. Because of how we believe, people can judge us differently. But because we are Christian, we know that God has a plan for us. This isn't just, you know, random life that we're living, that we're hoping things go well. And so no matter what happens, we know that it's part of his plan. And so there's a few things that can happen when we face trials that are actually positive. When we face them and get through them, not always to the end, but more that we overcome them, we can be strengthened in our faith, we can become examples to others, and we can be drawn closer to God. So on those points, I'm going to start with talking about how they can draw us closer to God. Sometimes you would think when things are hard, you kind of get mad at the person who's causing it. But what we got to realize is we're not intended to have a perfect life. And God is there to help us if we need him. And sometimes having things go rough is just what we need to turn towards him. It can kind of be like a wake-up call, you know? If life is perfect and if there's no issues, we can get really comfortable and start thinking, oh, this is just going through the motions. I don't really need help. You know, I'm fine. But whenever difficulties arise, it can remind us that, hey, we need God's help. It's not just us. He wants us to have to turn to him. If we just try to depend on ourselves, I mean, that's not really a good trust or relationship with God, is it? And so sometimes when difficulties do arise and you have no one else to turn to, turning to God can draw your relationship closer to him. And so something that I think about is when I first got to basic training, I didn't know anyone there, right? I was in a completely new area, farther away from home than I had been, I think, ever before. And I had no option but to turn straight to God. Even if I wanted to turn to someone else, there was no one else to talk to. And because of that, I found that in that first week, I prayed and talked to God and grew closer to him there more than I had any other week of my life in the past. Because that week of my life was one of the most difficult ones in my life. All the weeks before that were enjoyable, you know, relaxing, whether it's vacation, spend time with families, those are all great, but they didn't really strengthen or further my relationship. I remember one day in particular, we were going to turn in our gear at the end of basic training. This was a day before I would see the rest of my family for family day. And we had to clean all of our gear, right? Well, we had, but the people who were inspecting it were very strict and they got bothered by the littlest things. Like even just a stain that you worked hard on that you couldn't get out, they still wouldn't like it. So we had to scrub for hours. But I remember that a lot of us did not make the cut the first time they inspected us. And unlike a different group that would get like 2 days to clean, that first day, if we failed that first day, that was it. And so I missed half a family day. And I remember whenever I got rejected the first time, I was cleaning my hardest, and I was like, I was really frustrated that I wasn't going to get to spend the whole day the next day. And I was basically just praying the whole time, like, please help us fix the situation. And instead of losing an entire day of family day, we only lost half a day, even though our first sergeant was planning on taking away the whole day. Now, I know that doesn't exactly mean like I did that because I was asking for it. But it was more the idea of I was nervous, I was worried. And because of that, I started leaning towards God more and praying to him. Same thing can happen with anyone else. When a difficult situation arises and you turn to God for help, it can sometimes make you feel like he's closer, you know, like he's there for you. Even whenever you physically have no one else, you can still have him to turn to. Second point about facing difficult times is that not only does it grow a relationship, but it can strengthen us and our faith. Two references I'm going to read. You don't have to look them up just to save time. But in James 1, verses 2 and 3, it says, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness." And later in Romans 5, verses 3 and 4, it says, "Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that sufferings produce endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope." So like I said, when we face trials, they can help us become stronger. Well, at first glance, it doesn't really make sense, right? Because you would think that if you're beat up and battered down, that it would just make you weaker. But when we don't just depend on ourselves and rely on God first, it can have a completely different effect. Because whenever we depend on God and he helps us get through those difficult times, we realize that having faith in him, he being the strongest being ever, and seeing how much he cares about us can strengthen our faith and show us that he's there when we need him to. And even if when a lot of times the trials don't disappear, just having him there to help you get through them until that difficult time passes can mean a world of difference than just trying to go on at your own. And one thing I thought about, and a good analogy for that, is think about your physical body, right? If you don't do anything all day, you just sit on the couch, sleep in your bed for weeks on end, and let's say a month from then, you're supposed to do some event. Maybe you're running, you're doing some tiring physical exercise. Probably going to perform pretty poorly. Even though you haven't injured yourself, haven't hurt yourself in any way prior to that, and you've remained very, I'd say, healthy, you're not really going to perform well because you haven't been put to any strain. On the other hand, let's say you train several days a week. Well, during that training, you're tired, you're worn out, you felt weak at the end of it. But as you did that more and more, in the end, you are a lot stronger than you were at the beginning. So many times when we face a difficult situation, it can be just what we need to strengthen us, not only in our own resilience, but more importantly, with our faith and trust that God will help us. And then the third thing I think about, and this one is, I think, pretty prevalent throughout a lot of scripture, is when we face trials and overcome them, it can be an example to others. I'm sure many of you know someone by name who, despite having gone through many hardships, always seems to be at peace with their situation. They remain strong no matter what came their way. And it was probably pretty inspiring. At least I think so, and a lot of people I know. Now imagine an unbeliever seeing the same thing. They may be shocked and curious and confused of why that person would seem so happy. Maybe they're just putting on an act, maybe they're faking it, but to see them often and genuinely okay with their situation, it may really cause them to start scratching their heads and wonder why. So if we respond appropriately to struggles in life, it can speak volumes to others. I mean, actions speak louder than words. And if your actions in a time that would usually cause people to crumble are instead showing steadfastness and just general, not as much comfort, but more peace with the situation, a lot of people wouldn't understand that. There's many people in the Bible that I think fit this very well. For example, I think the most obvious one, Paul. I mean, think about how much he went through. He was shipwrecked several times. He was persecuted all over the place. He was put in prison several times. But think about when he was in prison with Silas and they were literally singing praises while they were in prison. You would think most people would be there, bawling their eyes out or yelling, cursing God or something because they were mad. But no, he was happy because he was doing God's work, and he knew that no matter what happened, God would have the glory. And even if he did end up dying, I mean, I think later in Philippians, he said to live is Christ, to die is gain. But, you know, even if he's gone, he's in a better place. And if he stays, at least fulfilling his purpose. Also, of course, I mean, there's many, many stories of martyrs who, I mean, they paid the ultimate price. They not only struggled in life, their life was ended, but their attitude and their example, I mean, still stands out for years to come. Daniel in the lion's den, I mean, after he faced that trial and stood against it, he became second only to the king. And because of that, King Darius actually decreed that Daniel's God be the one that everyone worshiped. Same situation happened for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Nebuchadnezzar decreed that God would be followed and appointed them in a high place too, because they faced the difficult times. If Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, if they had crumbled under the pressure and just done what the king had asked, well, the whole nation would still be worshiping idols or following the wrong guy. But what about whenever we have to do something about it? You know, like, all these trials can benefit, yes, but what are we supposed to do when they come? What's our actual steps? Most obvious, that most of you can guess off the top of your head, is that we should pray first. I mean, if we're going to depend on God, we should at the very least talk to him instead of just saying, oh, I hope he fixes it, you know? So the biggest thing, though, is realizing that first and foremost, we have to admit to ourselves that it's not us that needs to fix this issue. It's not us that has to do all the hard work. We need to lay our cares and troubles on him, let him take them for us, and we need to trust him to fix it. We are not supposed to be the guy that is, you know, taking all the stress. He purposefully gave us his son to pay for all our sin. So why would we not lean on him for the little things in life and bring them to him, you know, praise him, talk to him, just simply just talking about your troubles. I mean, even from a non-religious, non-emotional standpoint, it doesn't make sense if you have a hotline to the most powerful being in the universe not to at least use it. But we know it's much more than that. It's more than just, you know, talking to the guy like, hey, and give you a phone call, I need this done. It's a relationship. It's an attachment. It's something that we depend on him. And thus, because of our faith and trust in him, he can also help us. Now, it doesn't mean he will every time. I mean, I wish he did. But then again, that wouldn't cause us to have faith, would it? I mean, it would just be like, oh, I know it's going to work if I pray and it's fixed. Well, it wouldn't take faith, and it wouldn't really be a good system, basically. So that's something we have to remember, is we're still going to have to face troubles, and they're still going to be there. It's just that through talking with him and putting the troubles on him, it can make them easier to bear. No matter how big or small the problems, he cares. I mean, a lot of times we just bring the big problems to him, but sometimes the little issues can be brought to him just as important as the big ones, because there's still problems. Like, if you're, let's say you're sick, you can just pray for him to help you feel better. I mean, it doesn't have to be like, you know, some crazy disease. It could be as simple as a common cold, which I'm sure many of us are facing symptoms of. And he can help us through that. And I mean, let's say you're stressing about a test in school. Let's say you've got some deadline that you have to meet. Let's say financially you're having issues. Even if it doesn't fix the problem, just talking to God about it can be the first thing that we can do to help situations. And of course, then it shows God that we're dependent on him. The fact that we are making the effort to talk to him speaks volumes. Speaking of talking, another thing we can do, not only talk to God, but use the believers around us, the people that can help you while you're there physically next to you, that you see, that you talk to on a day-to-day basis, ask them for help. I think the biggest thing for that is we have to humble ourselves, because it's one thing to pray to God because he's all powerful. It's another thing to turn to people around you and admit that you're not okay. You know, tell them that you have these struggles that you're going through. That can be a bit more difficult step. But just like you can pray to God for help, if you ask them, sometimes all they have to do is pray. It takes almost no time of the day, and it's very simple. But I mean, the power of prayer is real. I know for one, when I was at training, just knowing how many people were praying for me back home made me feel so much better when the situation was difficult. Because I knew, even though no one was there with me physically, I wasn't alone. It wasn't just me and God. You know, I had a lot of people praying for me. And that alone just, it made things feel better. The troubles were still there, of course. But in light of all the prayer, it was, I mean, they were a lot simpler. You know what I mean? Like, times were simpler. Whenever you look at the big picture and realize that it's not just day-to-day life, you know, we're not trying to just get through this and enjoy it. Our goal is with looking at eternity in the background. And with that in mind, I mean, really, the day-to-day struggles should seem insignificant. Of course, they don't, because we're human, but it is something to think about. Another thing that we can do is we can simply trust that what's going on is part of God's plan. And sometimes that is difficult when it seems like his plan is not really what we want. But in Jeremiah 29:11, talking to the Jews, God said, I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Now, in context of this, he was telling them this while they were suffering, but he was not saying, oh, I'm going to fix it right now. But he said that somewhere in the future, things will be better, things will make sense. And it doesn't really have to be on our timing or on our logic. I mean, we're human. He created us. We're not going to understand all his plans. One thing that I remember that God told Job, whenever he was talking to Job about how, Job, can you run the world? You know, can you make this happen, make that happen? Well, no, because we don't understand it. The same way, we don't understand his ultimate plan. It's way beyond our grasp. So instead of trying to understand why something is happening, maybe instead just trusting that he has a plan for it and just basically going with it can help, instead of fighting it and being like, why, you know? Because that's not really going to help us. That's just going to worry us more. One person that, like I said, was that Job, is also that Job was a good man. I mean, he wasn't like he deserved to be punished. But, of course, there was reasonings behind it. Whether those reasonings really made sense to Job or not, they probably wouldn't. Even if he knew why, he'd still be confused. He's like, why does this guy saying this mean that I have to get punished? But he was an example that still stands today. I mean, we know about him. And he was, you know, a couple thousand years ago. But he, through all the sorrows, he wouldn't curse God. You know, for a long time, people were telling him to turn against God, to reject him. But in the end, he still stood steadfast, even though the hardships were rough, I mean, extremely. And he was very sorrowful. He'd be, you know, mourning and all. He remained faithful to God. In the end, God blessed him. And he didn't have to. I mean, he could have just really just let Job die. But the point is not that Job got back everything he lost. The point is that Job still had faith. Even though he didn't know, and never really, as far as we know, never really found out why, he still trusted that it was part of God's plan. And then I think the hardest part in all of this, as I've talked in the two passages of James and Romans before, is that we got to learn to rejoice in the suffering even whenever it doesn't go away, even when we have to face it on a regular basis. When, again, as I talked before about from an unbeliever's perspective, that also doesn't make sense. Why would we be cheerful during difficult times other than, like I said, that maybe we're faking? But unlike someone who doesn't know God, we have a promise. We have a promise that whatever we're going through is for a purpose and that one day it will all end. So when life is rough and things start seeming hopeless, we can remember that God is watching over us. We are in his hands no matter what comes our way. Even when it just doesn't seem like there's any solution, in the end, we're going to be with him in eternity. If it's a rough time to get there, or if it's, you know, cupcakes and rainbows to get there, we're still going to end with him in eternity. All these sufferings are temporary. They can only do so much to us. I mean, the worst that anything here on earth can do is kill us, right? And even then, we're going to be with Christ. So, like Paul said before, to live as Christ, to die as gain, it will be fine eventually. And so sometimes just taking a step back and looking at the grand scheme of things, a lot of the worries we go through day to day really don't matter. You know, a week from now, we might not know about them. Maybe we'll know about them a month from now, maybe a year from now. But 5-10 years down the road, we might not remember most of them. And even the ones we remember, eventually, when we're all gone, will be forgotten. We'll never have to deal with them again. So it's less of getting rid of the hardships and more of just enduring through them, because they're all temporary. And just trying to be content. And I mean, you can be happy in the situation. It doesn't seem easy at first. But if you remember that it's not about you facing the trials. It's about you with God's strength getting through them. You can kind of get rid of a lot of stress of day-to-day life, and by putting it in his hands, just be relaxed. I mean, it may not be as enjoyable of a living, but you can still, in Christ, have a lot more fulfilling life than you would having an easy life without him, and just, you know, depending on material everyday things. I mean, I think there's a reason, but this is a bit off topic, but I think there's a reason that depression has been growing across the nations, because so many people don't have any hope outside of what's here in everyday life. So when troubles come, they have no one to turn to other than the people around them. And even then, that's not going to be enough, because you're still just depending on human strength. Because we have God, no matter what troubles we may face, we still have him, we still have eternity, we know that we're in his plan. It's a lot better situation. So far I've talked about what we can do about our own situation. But what about the flip side? What can we do for others? Well, as I said before, we can pray for others. And honestly, this should be the easiest step of the entire process. I mean, it takes not even 5 minutes a day to pray for anyone you can think of. You don't even have to know the person's name. If you've heard about an issue with something else, or even you could just, in general, you could say, you know, I pray for the people on my street that they would all be safe in this time, you know? It doesn't have to be specific, saying word for word exactly what this person needs. Just lifting others up, just in a general sense, alone is helpful. But if you can be direct and know the exact person, don't be afraid to explain the situation to God. Show them that you care about the person by actually, you know, taking time to just say a couple minutes, talk about them. You know, like I said before, training, knowing people were praying for me, not just because they were, but actually them telling me that they were, just the knowledge of it was encouraging. So that's another thing. If the time is appropriate, I mean, I'm sure there's some times when you might not want to, because the person might not want to, you know, realize that everyone knows about the situation, but don't be afraid to tell someone that you're praying for. Because sometimes just that knowledge, that little, you know, message that says praying for you, can just show them, hey, they're not alone. Not only do they have them and God, they have people around them that care. The second step, a little bit more work on our part, which would be to go talk to them. You know, actually physically speak to them, whether on a phone call or whether in person. Just allow them to talk their situation through with a person. Because some people, they may not really have family near them that they can talk to. They may not have friends that they can depend on, that they trust as much, that are, you know, right next door. So sometimes just allowing them to talk about their struggles, voice what they're feeling, that can help. And even if they don't really want to talk deep into their issues, just being there for them in case they want to talk, and just maybe not even talking about their struggles, maybe just talking through them in general, it can help them feel a lot better. I know for me, when I get in troubling situation, I just like to explain it verbally. In fact, I'll go a little bit off topic since I think we got a little time, but a couple weeks ago, I was on the road to see my grandfather, and my hood latch had an issue, which, I mean, we've since fixed, but at about 60, 70 miles an hour highway speed, it would pop up and it would hit the safety latch. It wouldn't fly up or anything, but the initial latch would release. Well, that happened, so I pulled over on the side of the road, went, closed the hood, but whenever I'd gotten out of my car, I left it running, the door was unlocked, but whenever I got out, the door closed, and the vibrations were just right that it actually caused the latch to move a little bit to the left, and the door was locked, so I was locked out of my car. I initially ended up getting a little worried, but I found ways to fix it, and long story short, through the entire process, I was basically just talking to myself, talking out the problem, and it made me feel calmer and feel better about the situation. So if you're there, just not even, maybe not tell them anything, but just to listen to them, it can help people with struggles, being a person there that they can just, you know, vent to. And then the last step is to actually step in and help them. Sometimes you can't do that because it may be a mental, spiritual, emotional issue. But for those that are like a physical issue in their life, and they're struggling with something that actually can be fixed by someone's own hands, it can be a huge help to just lend a little assistance. For example, I can think of many times that me and the rest of my family have gone to help someone move out of their old house. It wasn't really a bad struggle. It was just that it was a little hiccup in the road that they had to do, and we helped them get through it. It could be, you know, maybe just going to visit them. I mean, like I said, talking to them, but actually making the effort to go see them in person is one step further that you can do to help someone. I remember when Mom had her foot surgery, there were many times when people would stop by or give us some food because she couldn't make any. And I mean, that was really encouraging. And a lot of times, you're not going to get anything in return, but you shouldn't expect to. If you have the attitude of just helping someone, whether you benefit from it or not, it can show them that, hey, people care. You're not all on your own. And I think that's the biggest thing, is when trials come, knowing that you have people with you, both God and other believers, I think that's the biggest thing when it comes to getting through all these trials. Of all the things we face, we're not really meant to face them alone. And I think that's one of the reasons why we are able to talk to God no matter where we are, is he knows that there will be times when we are physically alone. And why not make it so that we can always talk to him no matter the situations? I mean, he made us emotional beings to want to depend on others. We don't do good on our own. In fact, my mother and sister have been watching a show called Alone, where people are trying to basically, they survive in the wilderness by themselves for as long as they can for the competition, you know, to make money. But while they're out there, they are completely separated from any other person, you know, for several weeks on end, sometimes months. They have no face-to-face contact with anyone, almost no contact cell phone, maybe once every couple of weeks just to deliver a message to make sure they're okay. But those people, they always agreed on one thing, is that they missed seeing their family. They missed seeing people. Of all the things they're missing out there, of, you know, food, shelter, warmth, any of that, they all agreed that they missed people. And I think that's the big picture that a lot of us don't realize, is that whenever trials come, you have to do it with others. You can't go on alone. You can't just fix it yourself. Most importantly, you go to God. After that, don't be afraid to go to others. And remember that no matter what's happening, God can help you endure it. He can get you through it. I know I've said that probably a million times in this message, but it's something that we all forget. I mean, I think I'm more than anyone else, I'd forget a lot of that stuff. Many times through training, I would forget. And then I'd have to be drawn back and remind myself that I'm not alone. We got to remember that everything here is temporary. In the light of eternity, I mean, really, nothing's that much more important than snap of the fingers. Kind of like people say, your life is a blink of an eye compared to eternity. Troubles in your life are even smaller. So as hard as it may be, try to see that it's in God's plan. You're going to make it through it one way or another, whether the worst comes to happen, which is a bit dark, but whether the worst comes to happen and you die, or whether you make it through, the story still ends up the same way, and it's still a good ending. So just have faith, lean on others, don't go in alone. And that's about all I have. So I'll close this in prayer and turn it over to y'all. Dear Jesus, thank you for this day that we have to meet together, even though it may be virtually. I ask that we would all have a good week, that a lot of the people that are feeling under the weather, that are a bit sick, tested positive, that we would all recover quickly and without issues. I ask that you would remind us to always turn to you first, to remind us that we don't need to face these troubles on our own, and that they will eventually end one day. I ask that you would just give us peace in our situations. I know some people are probably struggling with a lot right now. I ask that you help them through it. Yeah. Thank you again for this day. In Jesus' name, amen.